Psalmist once wrote in Psalms 90, verse 12, "Teach me, O Lord, to number my days, that I may gain a heart of wisdom." What in the world did he mean by this? We're going to cover that on tonight's podcast. Let's get after it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, guys? It is Friday, August the 2nd, 2024. We want to welcome you to tonight's broadcast. Again, this is End Time Headlines. I'm your host, Ricky Scapparo, the founder of The Voice and the pastor of End Time Headlines. We want to welcome everybody in the chat group here on YouTube Live. We want to welcome you guys on Facebook tonight. This is being streamed on Facebook. We want to welcome you guys on Rumble. And, of course, everyone listening by podcast, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast from, we welcome you tonight. We want to encourage you tonight to keep up with our ministry. The easiest way to do that, pick up your free app today. It's available on both Apple and Android devices, and you can pick it up at your Play Store, depending on what that looks like for you. Pick it up today. Download the free app. Hit yes to push notifications. Every headline, every podcast, every breaking news, prophetic update, everything is going to be right at your fingertips. All right, guys, we got a lot I want to talk about. I really want to share my heart tonight on eternity. This is a subject that I think that needs to be at least on our minds way more than it is, especially as believers, and we're going to cover that tonight. Before we get started, please smash that like button, hit that bell notification. This is going to help you guys on Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, wherever you're watching this on a social media platform. Hitting the like button helps us get the message out, but hitting that bell notification and subscribe button, depending on where you're watching from, Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, wherever they have those options at, that's going to inform you of when we go live or when we are streaming on those broadcasts. So tonight, guys, I want to take you to, again, you heard me talk about this in the introduction of this message, Psalm 90, verse 12. I'm going to pull this up. I want to show you this. All right, so here it is, Psalms 90, verse 12. And while you're turning there, if you guys are listening by Apple or by Spotify, while you're opening your Bible and turning it to these scriptures that we're going to read tonight, I do want to announce, I am aware that we have a lot of stuff going on with the Middle East. If you guys follow us on Telegram, then you'll see that I did a little short audio, about a 3-minute message, giving you an update on what's transpiring in the Middle East. We're expecting Iran to carry out an attack against Israel, and they're saying that this could happen by the time that we air this tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. This may already be underway. So we may be on this weekend, depending on how this thing unfolds. We typically don't broadcast on the weekends, but we may come on here this weekend and give you an update. The global markets right now are in turmoil. I believe insiders know what's coming, and this is why we're seeing a major global, we're talking about over $1 trillion loss in one day that's going on in the stock market. Now, look, I could go on this, and I don't want to talk about this tonight, because I want to kind of go off here, and I want to do an equipping message tonight. I want to stir us up tonight and talk about real stuff. This is real talk tonight. So we may cover that this weekend. See how this thing goes, how it unfolds, and we may come on here for a special broadcast. So be looking for that. I'll announce it if we do on our social media platforms. Again, if you're not following us on Telegram, guys, please go find us there. I'll put the link up here on these platforms and stuff so you can find that as well. So let me go back here. Psalms 90, verse 12. Here it is. The psalmist says, "So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." What in the world did he mean? Teach us to number our days. Guys, listen. The Bible tells us that we are not promised tomorrow. Now, I can take you to Psalms 90, verse 10, and the Bible says a man's years shall be 70, and by reason of strength, 80 or more. So we know that based on that alone, that the average lifespan now is 70 years. And again, by reason of strength, what does that mean? Again, lifestyle. how we treat our temples. Are we putting toxic substances in our bodies? Are we destroying our temple? Are we honoring God with our temples? Are we defiling God with our temples? What are we doing? Are we destroying it? If we're doing things that is going to promote longevity, then yes, we could live well beyond 70 years. We could go 80, 90. Some people are very blessed and they live to be 100 and plus years of age. But again, the average, Psalms 90 verse 10, man's years will be 70 or 80 or more by reason of strength. And then we know, according to Solomon's writings in Ecclesiastes, he talks about much foolishness can actually shorten your lifespan. It can shorten your days. He says, why should you die before your time? You can actually die before your time. Read it. It's in the book of Ecclesiastes. We've covered this before. But then I'm going to take you to the book of James. Let me show you this. Listen to what it says here. This is James chapter 4, verses 13, and we'll read on here. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such and spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you, listen to this, this is important, James 4, 14. Whereas you and I do not know what will happen tomorrow. So come on, somebody say that. I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. For what is your life? James says, it is even a vapor that appears for a little time. Some translations say for a little while or a short space, and then it vanishes away. I want to say that one more time. Our life is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Listen, I live here in the state of Georgia. Depending on the time of the year and we get these storms that come through, and if it's really humid and hot and we get and depending on what happened the night before or early in the wee hours of the morning, if we get a thunderstorm and the temperature, there's a temperature drop or a change, many times we'll get up and I'll get this a little alert on my phone and it'll say a fog advisory. And then I'll get up and I'll look outside early in the morning and there is such dense fog that the visibility is, I mean, it's very limited. You can see very little because of the dense fog, the vapor, if you would. But what's interesting is, and if you have to travel early in the morning, you have to go to work, you have to drive through that, and you know how difficult that can be. There's been many lives, guys, that have been lost because of dense fog on interstates and on highways and country roads and stuff where people really can't, there's very limited visibility. So you don't know what's in front of you. So if there's a wreck or something in the highway, it's literally, it comes up on you so suddenly that you have to make a split decision at that last second. But here's the thing. It usually that will only last. Listen to me. That vapor will only, it will only linger around for a short time. And then by the time it comes lunchtime, you would never known it was even there. And James says that our lives, even if we were to live 70 or 80 years of age, he says it will go by so fast that it's like a vapor that is here 1 minute and the next moment it is vanished away. It is gone. Think about it. Come on, church. Think about it. Hit me up in the chat room. Hit me up in the comments if you know what I'm talking about. I remember my mom used to sit around. And she would tell me this all the time. And it's like embedded in my head. Even at 47 years of age, I remember these conversations with my mother. She said, listen, enjoy. And you know what's funny is I say this to my children now. She said, enjoy your childhood while you can, because the day will come as you get older and life comes, you have to do something called work. I know some people don't even know what I'm talking about right there. You're gonna have to You're going to have to go out into the real world. You're going to have to get a job. You're going to have to work. You're going to have to pay your bills. You're going to have to do these things. And then in life, you will find a significant other, and then you will get married. And then when you have kids, oh, come on, somebody. You see all this gray right here in my head? I never had any of that until I had kids. I'm just saying. I know the gray hair, the gray head is the symbol of wisdom. And I'll receive that. I'll receive that. But I'm just telling you, never had any of that till I had kids. But I remember she used to say this. She said, enjoy your life while you're young. Enjoy your time, because the day will come when you will blink your eyes and you will be out of high school. You'll blink your eyes again and you'll have a full-time job, and you'll blink again and you'll be married, and you'll blink again and you'll have children. And then you will wake up one day and your children will no longer be with you. They've moved out of your home. And now one day you look in the mirror and you don't even recognize yourself anymore. You're like, where is that young man? Where is that young woman? What happened? Have you ever asked yourself, what in the world happened? What happened to 25 years? What happened to 30 years? What happened to 40 years? What happened to 50 years? This is what James is saying here. Our life is but a vapor. It appears for a little time and it vanishes away. Instead, we ought to say, all of us, friends, we should say, if the Lord wills, we shall do this and we shall do that. That's why you'll hear me all the time, all the time. You'll hear me say this. Well, folks, we'll see you next week, or I'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing. Now, why would I say such a thing? Not just, listen, I wish I could tell you, well, I say it because the Word of God says that. That sounds real spiritual, and it does, and we should be saying that, and that's what the Word of God says, but that's not why I say that. I say it because the longer you live, come on, I want to talk to my 40-year-olds, my 50-year-olds, my 60-year-olds, my 70-year-olds, 80-year-olds, whoever, come on, that's in the chat, that's listening in this podcast, that has lived long enough to know that if we cannot let our guard down and take for granted our family, our friends, coworkers, neighbors, church members that we see on a daily basis, and we just presume that they'll be here tomorrow. I'll get up. I'll be able to pick up the phone. I'll be able to call them. I'll be able to go see them. I'll see them after lunch, or I'll see them after church on Sunday for lunch. I'll see them at the annual banquet. I'll see them at the conference we're going to. They'll always be there. But the psalmist says in Psalms 90, verse 12, Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. This sentiment reflects the understanding of recognizing that the fragileness of life, the importance of understanding that our time is limited on earth, and that we are to use the time that God has alluded to us wisely, to live a life that is aligned with the divine wisdom and purpose of God, to fulfill what God has called us to fulfill on this earth. And look, many times we see an event take place, a tragedy happen, an accident happen, a shooting happen, a murder happen, a terrorist attack. And we see many people, we'll see the wicked will perish. You'll hear the story come up and say, you know, I don't know, I'm just throwing this out, so-and-so, and you look up the history of so-and-so, and they were in lines with dictators. They were in lines with mass murderers and psychopaths and evil people and wicked people. And we see that, and we read those stories, and we shake our heads, and we say, okay, that makes sense. I can see that. The Bible says that the wicked shall perish. The wicked's days shall be short. And I can take you to Proverbs 3. I can take you to Proverbs 4 and show you where it says the wicked shall not live out the half of their days. Okay, well, that makes sense to me. But what are we going to do with a story like this? This made big headlines in Christian circles. Three members of a gospel group, the Neelands, were recently killed in a tragic plane crash. Now, these are spirit-filled, born-again believers, not wicked people. The group is formed of Kelly Neelan Clark, her husband Jason Clark, and Kelly's daughters Amber Neelan Kistler and Autumn Neelan Streetman. Kelly, Jason, and Amber were among those killed in the accident, with Amber's husband, Nathan Kistler, and three friends also. I mean, this is absolutely horrible, guys. This is a picture of them. I can't imagine what this wife is dealing with right now. Please stop what you're doing sometimes today, this weekend, and pray for this precious woman of God who has lost her husband, her daughters, her friends. And guys, this is just one example. We have, what, 8 billion plus people on the earth now. This happens every day. Somebody's losing a husband, a wife, a daughter, a son, an aunt, an uncle, a nephew, a niece, a cousin. Somebody's losing somebody. Every day, somebody is slipping into eternity. Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. Guys, in case you've not figured it out today, I want to emphasize the importance of not taking life for granted. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. And we're all guilty of this, friend. Listen, as of the recording of this podcast, I have got another friend that I've had to say goodbye to. He is, now he's technically still alive, but as of the last time I got a report on him, he hadn't eaten in a week. He is dying of liver failure. Now, the reason why he's dying of liver failure is because he went through tragedy after tragedy in his life. And I don't want to disclose some personal things here, but I will say this. Everybody copes with things differently. Before we judge people, just know this. A lot of times, friends, you don't know how you can handle a situation until you are faced with the situation. There are some people that are not grounded in the Word of God like others are. They don't have faith like others do. So as a result of this, many people will, when they're faced with tragedies and disasters, they seek for everything else to mask their hurt, their wounds, their brokenness. They're looking for something to smoke. They're looking for alcohol. They're looking for drugs. Why? Because they're trying to suppress their broken heart. They're trying to suppress the depression. They're trying to suppress the fear, the worry, the anxiety. They're trying to suppress all these things. And they don't think about the repercussions of the destruction that they're sowing into their own lives. And my friend is an example of this. He turned to alcohol. And I didn't know anything about this, guys. It was masked from me. He did a very good job. But there was at one time we lived in the same state together, but there was events that happened. And eventually he lived in a different state than me. So he was able to mask this. Now, if you know anything about alcoholics, a lot of them do this. They hide this disease, and that's what it is. But that's what was going on. He was drinking his sorrows away, and eventually his liver gave out, and he is now going to succumb to liver failure, cirrhosis of the liver. But he, thank God, even though he went down this road, there is repentance, friend. There is, God is merciful. He is, come on, he is long-suffering and wills that none perish. And through events like my, and through people, we have now, we have the peace to know that he, we believe that he is ready to transition from this earth to eternity. But it won't change the fact, listen to me, that I can pull up my phone and his number's there, but there will come a time soon, lest the Lord intervene with a miracle, that though his name will come up in my phone, in the directory, in the address, and the telephone numbers, he will no longer be there. And I said, yet another friend, because in my life, friends, again, the older you get, and the longer you live, friend, you are dodging what I call, I don't know how else to put this, but you're dodging a bullet, literally. Like, you are dodging death. I remember, there is people that I went to high school with, friends that I hung out with that are gone. They're in eternity right now. I have family members, my mother, my father, my stepfather. I have my grandmother, my grandfather. I have aunts, uncles, cousins. I had a cousin that went in for a simple procedure to remove his tonsils, and there was malpractice that took place. And he ended up bleeding to death 3 days later. It ruptured. And he bled to death. He was only 5 years of age. And he's went into eternity. Nobody saw that coming. We took it for granted. It's a simple, what is it called? A tonsillectomy or whatever it's called. He went in for a simple procedure to remove his tonsils. No one in their wildest dreams would believe or even conspire the notion that he was, it was, there, something would happen and he would bleed to death. But it did happen. I'm sure that this family, this precious woman of God, never thought one time that she would lose her husband and her daughters and her friends in a plane. They've probably flown, who knows, thousands of times. They're a traveling gospel group. But today, she's a widow, and she's lost both of her daughters. Let me talk about this for a second. The Bible addresses death from multiple perspectives. The Bible makes it clear, guys, and I don't want to debate this, and I understand that we'll have a lot of our Seventh-day Adventist brothers and sisters that will quickly try to refute everything I say, but it's okay because they believe in what's called a doctrine of soul sleep. And listen, I'm not going to break all that down in this podcast. You can go search our archives, and we broke down in detail what I'm about to tell you and why I believe it. Okay, so I can't spend an hour on this and this and this and the Hebrew words and the Greek words and the mentions of this and the line on line and precept and precept. Again, if you want to see all that, go in our archives of our YouTube channel. They're there. But the Bible makes it clear, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. In Genesis 3:19, it even tells us that when we die, that we, our body, our physical body, returns to the dust in which it came, but our soul and spirit departs from our body. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul gives details on this, where his soul and spirit came out of his body, where scholars believed he laid in the streets of Lystra, where he was stoned to death, and he had what we would call an out-of-body experience, where his soul and spirit was departing his body. And when this happened, he entered into a place called 2 Corinthians 12, paradise, under and in the throne of God. You can go to the book of Revelation. John saw paradise, and it's under, it's located under the throne room of God, where there is souls there in, dressed in white, and there will continually be souls there dressed in white, and they'll get those robes because they will die during the tribulation. But they are there, and they're crying out, saying, "Oh Lord, how long until you shall avenge our blood?" These people are not sleeping in a grave somewhere. Again, if you have if you're in relationship with Christ, you're born again, your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, your soul and spirit will depart out of your body. Angels of God will escort you to a place in 2 Corinthians 12 called paradise. If you are not right with God, you don't have a relationship with Christ, you're not born again, and your name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life, when you die, you will go down into, I believe, into the core, into the center of the earth, into a compartment called hell, okay? But that will not be your final destination. Come, and I'm giving you guys the cliff notes of what I just talked about earlier, okay? Then later on, at the end of the tribulation, there will be what's called the Great White Throne Judgment. At that judgment, now, this is for not for us believers. We will go to the Bema judgment, the judgment seat of Christ in heaven. This, by the way, that happens during the tribulation. We will stand before Christ and we will be rewarded in heaven. Are you hearing me? But then on earth, at the end of the tribulation, there is a great white throne judgment set up. And this is where all of those who are not found in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Bible says hell will give up its dead. Those people that died and went to hell, hell will basically vomit them up out of hell, and they will be judged there, and then they will be thrown into the lake of fire with the false prophet, with the Antichrist, with those angels that did not hold their first estate, that's found in the book of Peter, and all those whose names were not found in the Lamb's Book of Life. But listen to me. There is a hope of a resurrection for believers. In 1 Corinthians 15, 21 through 22, Paul says, "For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so that in Christ all shall be made alive." Hallelujah. He states in 1 Corinthians 15, 55 through 57, "O death, where is thy sting? Where?" And the power of sin is defeated. The sin, death, hell, and the grave has been defeated by Jesus Christ. Come on. And for those who have a covenant with him, friends, he says in Revelation 21, 4, he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Now, I found this goes right along with what we're talking about. Look at this article. 13-year-old boy with a promising future in ministry was killed in a robbery. Here's a picture of him. If you're watching the visual of this, I want to read a little bit of this. Matthew Stafkevi, which is a 13-year-old boy known for his dedication. Listen to this. He was known for his dedication to his faith. This is what gave me chills, guys. He was memorizing Revelation 21 when his life was tragically taken in a robbery camera. And again, Revelation 21, guys, is where it says every tear shall be wiped away, and the remembrance of the old shall be no more, and all things will be made new. That's in Revelation 21. And this young boy lost his life. I believe with all my heart, this young man is in the presence of God as we speak in paradise. Now, according to the report, prosecutors said that Matthew was killed on July 16th when he and his 15-year-old sister and an underage friend went to a park in Kent, Washington to sell a camera and its accompanying equipment. The sale was arranged through the online marketplace OfferUP. Over that weekend, a memorial service was held. According to the report, while he was at the park, someone shot him in his back. This is so tragic, guys. This is absolutely unbelievable. And his 18-year-old brother stated that everything that Matthew did, he did to the best of his ability, from serving God to his schoolwork, playing sports, and everything else in between. So again, here's a family that I guarantee you, they never perceived that this was going to take place. It will never happen to my kid. We all say that. Well, that won't happen to me. That will never happen to my kid. But guys, we have to be aware that this life is but a vapor. We're here today. We could be gone tomorrow in an instant. Now, I want to shift gears. I'm going to talk about this. I know this is going to be very controversial. It's not really, even though we're shifting gears, we're still in the same lane here. We're still going to talk about eternity here. But I want to kind of go into a different topic here. And I want to talk about this. According to a study conducted in 2019, this is phenomenal. Listen to this. Approximately 10% of the entire population of the planet has had a near-death experience. Think about that. Nearly 10% of the entire population has had some form or another of a near-death experience. Today, I want to share with you five examples. I'm going to share with you five stories. Now, you may say, well, I don't believe in near-death experiences. I don't believe this and that. Well, I want to share a scripture with you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Bible says that eyes have not seen, near heard, nor ears heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Number one. Number two, I want to remind you, the Apostle Paul is the example of what we would call an NDE or a near-death experience. Again, the man was stoned to death and his soul and spirit came out of his body. He went into paradise, saw things that he couldn't even write down that was so miraculous, so glorious. Remember, again, the Bible says, eyes have not seen, ears not heard, nor is it entered into the heart of man what God has in prepare. Paul couldn't even describe these things. He said it was not even lawful for him to write these things down. And the saints gathered around, prayed for him to be raised from the dead. His soul and spirit went back into his body, and then he wrote 2 Corinthians chapter 12 to speak of his experience. So does that mean that every life after death experience is legit? Absolutely not. Does that mean that every testimony of people seeing Christ or seeing angels or seeing loved ones is accurate or it's correct? Absolutely not. I want to make a disclaimer. I want to make an advisory, and I want to say that we should always go back to the scriptures. But I will say this. I'm not going to be so dogmatic to say that none of these are legit. And there is people out there that will say that nobody has ever had an experience like this, because I know for a fact that that's not true, because I know people personally that has had a glimpse of the other side, that were believers and unbelievers. And those who were not believers didn't see pretty things. They experienced very traumatic things, which, again, scripture testifies of. Now, if they were an unbeliever and they died and they went before God and God showed them all these things and never once warned them that if they were to die in their sins, that they would not enter this place, then I would question that, because that's not scriptural. The Bible makes it clear that not everybody is going to heaven, my friend. That's the Bible. In fact, your Bible says that there are few be that find eternal life, but wide and broad is the path that leads to destruction, and many be there that go into it. A six-year-old girl named Zola was in the hospital to have her tonsils removed, but after the surgery, she began to bleed and hemorrhage for nearly 10 days due to a very rare genetic disorder. She lost a tremendous amount of blood, and it was during this time that she met Jesus, or she claimed she did. After she recovered, she asked a question that absolutely floored her mother. Listen to this, quote, Zola asked her mother, "When can I see God again?" It's something even to this day that I still can't even comprehend. Her mother said, "I was getting her ready, and I wasn't even like we were talking about anything God related beforehand. We were just getting ready to go to gymnastics, and she asked, 'When can I see God again?'" And her mother was confused, taken back by her question. So she asked Zola again, when did you see God?" And Zola replied with the most stunning statement, "The night I died." During this time, Zola testifies that she came out of her body and experienced many things. At one point, She said that she saw what she believes was Jesus, and he actually thanked her for loving him and being his friend. Over time, Zola began to talk more and more about being with Christ. She told her mother that she remembers God giving her a big hug. And Zola said everything looked like a rainbow, and Jesus had thanked her for loving him, being his friend. Now you say, well, everything looked like a rainbow. Is that scripture? Yes. The Bible says, I can show you in the book of Revelation, where there's a rainbow before the throne room of God, and it's the half circle. The other half, by the way, is on earth, where we see half the bow. It's really a full circle. We see half here, and there's the other half in front of the throne room of God. Why? Because God sees the rainbow, and he remembers his covenant that he made with creation, that he would never destroy the earth of a flood again. All right, then there was a Georgia man named Mike McKenzie. McKenzie said his appendix ruptured just before his son's wedding. He went to the hospital for surgery, and during that surgery, he died and found himself standing directly in the presence of Christ. After becoming sick in the days before his son's wedding, he learned his appendix had ruptured. Surgery began, and then he said, and all of a sudden he said, there was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the very incarnation of God himself standing right beside me. With dark skin and bluish green eyes, Jesus did not look like the man often depicted in the U.S. or Western depictions. Uh-oh. He said he had dark skin. And listen, I can roll with that, because the book of Revelation says that he had feet of bronze. John said he comes back, his hair was like wool, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. So, and when John saw him, he was coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He then said that Christ began to speak to him. McKenzie went on further, said that the Son of God held out his hand and said, I want to answer your prayer. McKenzie said he felt confused. And I thought, oh, I was at the wedding. Wait, I think I was having surgery by now, right? And trying to put it all together. And then I thought, oh my gosh, I think I'm dead. The doctors were ultimately able to bring him back, but this is an experience that McKenzie will remember for the rest of his life. Again, do what you want with it. I'm just reading these, okay? Number three, Randy K died, and when he died, he had an encounter with what he believes was Jesus, and he says that he absolutely was overwhelmed by the love that he left. K recalled feeling compelled to call out Jesus' name at one point during the experience. I was so overwhelmed with emotion, and my first thought was, so this is love. And I just caved, he said. And I started shouting everything I could think of. Praise you, Lord God. And he reached down and he wrapped his arms around me. And Kay described feeling an unimaginable love in those moments, something he called the most incredible experience, with Jesus imploring Kay to trust him. Ultimately, Kay said God told him he needed to return home, a reality that left him deeply saddened, considering the paradise he was experiencing. Now, I want to stop here for a second. I've read countless numbers of near-death experiences where people has been in the presence of what they say in the presence of God, and they said they were so overwhelmed with the presence of love and comfort that when they were told they had to return, they were saddened because they really didn't want to go back. Now, I want to show you something from Scripture. So the Apostle Paul, again, remember what I told you? He was stoned in Lystra. He had what we would call an out-of-body experience. His spirit went to paradise. He saw Christ. He saw all these things, and that he said he was not permitted to even speak of. That encounter changed his life forever. Then we go over here. I want you to see this. To the church of Philippi, this is what he wrote. He said here in Philippians chapter 1, verse 19, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. Come on, he knows the confidence in a praying church. Come on. But with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified. Listen to what he says here. Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Listen to these bold statements here. For to me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Look at this, verse 22. But if I live on the, and if I live on in this flesh or in this earthly body, this will mean fruit for my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell. Look what he says here. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Why would this man say this statement? Because Paul has seen the other side, my friend. He has been at the very under the throne of God in paradise. If anyone, you hear me and hear me really clear here. If anyone says that they had a near-death experience and they went before the throne room of God and their life is not radically transformed and changed, I would question if what they claim was authentic and true. I'm sorry, but if you really went before the throne room of God, you saw the pearly gates, you saw the streets of gold, you saw the seraphim and the cherubim, and you saw those saints, come on, that are already in heaven waiting on us, that are the cloud of witnesses that are surrounding us and cheering us on, according to what Paul said in the book of Hebrews. If you've seen all that, my friend, there is no way, listen to me, that you could come back in your body and you could go on in life the same person you were before that situation. You would be changed. So that's one way that you can gauge whether these experiences are true or not. Someone says that, and the same goes for, listen, I know there, Bill Weiss, 23 Minutes in Hell. I believe when you listen to this man's testimony, I believe his experience was absolutely true. I believe it's authentic. The man can quote by memorization every scripture on hell, every one of them. He has a burden for the lost. He is still speaking about this all these years later, and he has just as much burden for people, come on, dying and going to hell than he did when he first had the experiences. So that's my point. He's a great example of an individual that I believe it's legit and really had that experience. So here is Paul telling the church of Philippi, if I live in the flesh, it's going to bring about fruit for my labor. But he said, I'm hard pressed. Part of me wants to go on and be with God and be with Christ, for it would be far much better. Why wouldn't it? There'd be no more pain, no more sorrow. Come on, no more bills. Come on, no more aging, no more arthritis, no more pain in your body, no more suffering, no more anguish, no more tears, no more depression, no more oppression, no more anxiety, no more fear, no more worry, no more wars and desolations and all this nonsense. Who wouldn't be happier? And who wouldn't agree that it'd be far better to be in Christ? But he says in Philippians chapter 1, he says, nevertheless, for me to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. In other words, he was saying, oh, come on, somebody. Paul was saying that if it was meant to be my time, if I was meant to go and be with the Lord in Lystra, then I would have went. God would have not permitted me to come back. He, even though the saints gathered around me and prayed for me to be raised from the dead, if it was my time, God would have not listened to their prayers. He would have not received their prayers, and he would not permitted me to be raised from the dead. Instead, he would have allowed me to remain. But Paul is saying that I am still here, and the reason why I'm still breathing and the reason why I'm still standing here is because God has a labor for me to fulfill. He has a purpose for me to accomplish. Who am I talking to today on this podcast? Oh, I need you to get this in your mindset. Come on. I may be out here on an island preaching to myself today, but I'm going to receive this word today. I've went through hardships. I've went through physical infirmities. I can't tell you how many times the devil's tried to back me and throw me in a corner and say, you're done. You're finished. This is going to take you out. You've got this illness. You've got this disease. You're going to die like this. You're going to go like that. You're going to go in the way they went. But come on, the devil is a liar, and I'm still standing. I'm still here, and I'm still preaching. Why? Because God has a purpose for me. God has something for me. need to fulfill. It's not yet my time. And whoever I'm talking to on the other end of this microphone, you can tell, if I brought you in the studio and gave you the mic, you could say, Brother Ricky, let me testify for a moment. I should have died in the womb. I should have died in a car accident. I should have died of a drug overdose. I should have died of an alcoholic. I should have died in a murder and a robbery and this or that. But look at God. God has spared me. God has delivered me. Peter was, look, one time at Peter came back to Jesus. Your Bible talks about he was restored back into the faith, and he came to Christ, and he starts pointing at John, and he says, Lord, and they're having this conversation, this dialogue, and Jesus tells Peter, he says, Peter, you're going to die of an old age, and you're going to, and he tells him the way in which he's going to die. He tells him he's going to be crucified. He tells him he's going to be martyred. He tells him he's going to die in the way of a crucifixion and being martyred. He will give his life for Christ. And so Peter looks at John, just like we all do. We immediately say, what about him? What about her? What about them? He points at John and says, Lord, what about him? And Jesus looks at him. Come on, this is in your Bible. And he says, if I choose for him to live, then what's that to you? You chose to follow me. So there was a rumor that got circulated among the early church that John would never see physical death before the coming of the Lord, because Jesus looked at them in the midst of all this and he says, I tell you the truth, one of you will live to see me coming in my glory. So that there was a rumor that got circulated that it was John who would not see physical death and he would see the return of the Lord. And you know what? People get confused by this. John did see the return of the Lord. He didn't see it physically. He saw a vision on the Isle of Patmos where he wrote in 95 AD, come on, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I've come by to tell you today, friends, that we have to be eternally minded. I know it's hard. We get so caught up in life, the busyness of life, our kids and their activities and our marriages and our businesses and our lifestyles, and we get so caught up in this. But I'm telling you, I don't want, number one, if you're watching and listening to this and you don't know the Lord, then we're stopping everything. Everything's being put on pause right here. I don't know how you got in here. Maybe somebody invited you in. Somebody tagged you in. You stumbled on the algorithm because one of you guys hit that like button and it allowed our visibility to get out there. So somebody came in and saw our broadcast and now they're here listening to this. I don't know how you got here, friend. But the bottom line is, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not born again and your name is not in that registry in heaven. You may be full of pride and arrogance and say, you know what, preacher, I don't need this message. I'm not really worried about it. And listen, I have met them people. I have interviewed all kinds of people and I've talked to people that don't know God. They don't have a relationship with Christ. And I asked them, are you afraid of dying? And they say, no, I'm not afraid to die. Because many of them people has been deceived into thinking that when they die, there's nothing. It's blackness. It's annihilation. There's nothing there. But that is a lie from the pits of hell. My friend, I'm telling you, when the day comes, and you may think, well, I'm young, that's not going to happen for another 40 years, 50 years. Tell that to that 13-year-old boy who was at the wrong place at the wrong time, 13 years of age. And now he's in eternity for heaven. Tell that to that gospel group that died in that plane crash. They didn't see that coming, and they're not here anymore. I'd have never would have thought that a good friend of mine that I've known for 20 years would be going into eternity at 45 years of age. So, again, that's why the psalmist said, Lord, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Friend, if you're listening today, I want you, the first thing you could do, the best thing you could do, the most important thing you can do is accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I want to pray with you right now. Come on, if you'll repeat this prayer after me and you mean it from your heart, the Bible says if you, in the book of Romans, he said, if you will confess with your mouth that Christ is Lord, that he died and rose again from the grave and is seated at the right hand of the Father. If you will confess with your mouth that, if you will confess this with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus died and rose again from the grave and repent of your sins. The Bible says that God is calling men everywhere to repent. You've got to turn from your sins, repent of your sins, and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The Bible says if you'll do that, he says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, his name is Jesus, they shall be saved. Come on, won't you pray with me real quick? If you're listening, you're watching, and you maybe you're born again, come on, I want everybody to pray this prayer with me. I want you to, come on, believe for those who may be watching or listening, and they don't know the Lord. Come on, let's come into agreement. Father, I come to you today, and I admit and confess that I am a sinner. Father, I have transgressed against you. I have done things my own way. And I come to you today and I humble myself before you. And I acknowledge that I need a Lord and I need a Savior. So, Father, I ask today that you would forgive me. That through your Son's blood, through the blood of Jesus Christ, I ask that I would be washed from my sin. I repent of my sin. I repent of all my iniquities, my trespasses, and my transgressions. I confess today that I come to you today acknowledging that I need you, Jesus Christ, to be my Lord and to be my Savior. I ask today that you would forgive me and wash me in the blood and write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I pray this today. In Jesus' name, come on, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Friend, it was that simple. If you meant that prayer, the Bible says that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus, and the old man has passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And you know what that means? That means whether it's today, whether it's tomorrow, whether it's 50 years from now, if you remain in him, could just keep serving him, and you die, you give up your spirit, you will be going into a place called paradise. And then one day, oh, come on, this is exciting. One day, we're all going to come back with Jesus Christ when he comes back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We will come back riding with him on horses, and he will set up his kingdom here on earth, and the new heaven and new earth, the new Jerusalem will come down out of heaven, and he will establish his kingdom here on the earth. So friends, I hope that you've been blessed by this message. I hope that it's inspired you. It's made you think. That's the biggest thing. I want you to think about this. Teach us, the psalmist said, teach us to number our days. Lord, thank you today. You know, I'm telling you, if you change your mindset, I know we can all find 1,000 things to complain about. Lord, my body hurts. I don't feel good. I wish I had more money in the bank. I wish I had a better job. And my spouse gets on my nerves. My children are aggravating. I didn't get the house I wanted. I didn't get this, or they got that, or I failed to get this, or I didn't get a good report. We can be thankful. Because listen, there is always someone out there that is in far worse condition and shape than you are. I can guarantee you that. We are blessed. That's why he says that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. I know we didn't share all 5 of those stories, guys, but we're running out of time. I just wanted to share a few of those because I believe they're very encouraging. And listen, I could spend another hour and tell you of my own personal family members, my grandmother, my mother, my friend Daniel that went on to be with the Lord, they saw angels of God come right before they transitioned from earth to heaven. They saw the angels of the Lord. They experienced these things. They saw that my own grandmother, before she passed, the angels of God was coming to take her, and she asked the Lord. She said, Lord, I'm not ready. Send them back. Don't let them come and take me yet. Because why? Because she wanted to see her one last daughter and say goodbye to her. And my aunt from New York flew all the way down to Kentucky and was the last daughter that would sit at her bedside. And once my aunt said goodbye to her mother, right there at her bedside. Then everybody backed up, and she put out her arms and says, "Lord, I'm ready now. They can come and take me." And you know what? You know what happened shortly after that? She gave up her breath. She gave up the ghost, and she went. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So don't tell me this thing ain't real, my friend. I've seen too much. I've experienced too much. And it is exciting to know that, come on, beyond this world of all the suffering and the sorrow that we deal with day after day after day, come on, there is a crown laid up for us waiting on that day. Again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's going to be our main website. Right there, you can find us. This is our app. Again, if you've not downloaded our free app, I want to encourage you to do that today. You can download it by going to your app store, Apple, Android, whatever that looks like for you. Download today. Hit yes to push notifications. Everything's going to be right there. And this is how you can follow us and be blessed by our ministry. And of course, guys, if this ministry encourages you, blesses you, informs you, equips you, all of the above, we want you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. You could do that easily by just going right there on your screen. There's all the options to do this. You can go to the app down below, just click on donate, or you can go to the main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. There you can give electronically. You can give through a credit card. You can give through Venmo. You can get through Cash App. You can go through PayPal. There's so many different ways you can do that. Again, whatever's easier or convenient for you. And then, of course, you can give by check or money order, and you can make that at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So, friends, we love you. We appreciate you. Again, thank you for your time. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your partnership, and thank you for your intercession. We're gonna say goodbye for this weekend, unless, again, if something major happens in the Middle East. I plan on coming here on back on this weekend and give you a special report on that. We'll cover that as much as possible. But if not, we will see you guys on Monday, Lord willing, for our next broadcast. So until then, I pray the Lord bless you, may He keep you, and may His countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.